He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. We made it. We made it to Friday. The market not only made it to Friday, it's celebrating again. I'm Bill Gunderson, professional money manager with Barry Kite. Did he make it to Friday?
Yeah, okay. Sure. I want to stick around for this. It's been, you got to soak it in when it's been nice. So yeah. It's been a good week. Let's put it that way.
You got to make hay while the sun shines. And the sun's shining again with the Dow hitting a new all-time high up 345. 36,468. The S&P new high, never been above 4,700. Now it's at 4,716.81. And the NASDAQ, which has had nine straight days of gains, I think this is the ninth day. The NASDAQ is also not as strong as, the Dow is today. The NASDAQ is up just 100, just 100 points, right? 104 points. But it's above 16,000 for the first time, 16,044. And I got to be honest, there's a lot of memories here. I'll talk about that in a bit. Memories of 2000 and the year 2000 for me with the bubble, the dot-com bubble. We've got the small caps up 1.7%. We've got crude oil up 61 cents. To 79.42. Gold is 1800. It's been 1800 for a long, long time. Silver is $24 per ounce. It's been at that level for a long, long time. You actually have interest rates backing off a little bit on the better than expected jobs report. Down 4 basis points to 1.49. And Bitcoin is down 508 to 61,820. So welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA Barry Kite. What a wild week this has been. I'm kind of tired. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, my eyes are tired.
Fired up and everything.
Watching the screens all day.
But
right?
It has been a busy week. I made quite a few trades this week. We've had a very good week from a performance point of view. We've had numerous big winners in the market this past week, being in the right place at the right time. We've been right about the macro call of the market that we've been sending out every single week in the newsletter. We put our necks on the line every Saturday with that macro call and that target price for the S&P 500. It would seem now that it's really winding down the earnings season. This was a big week. Today it's software day, it would seem. A lot of software stocks reporting earnings. And, it will have some better numbers for next year and the year following. And, I also think we've surpassed some bubble-licious type numbers in some areas of the market that we have to be very careful with. No tree grows to the sky. Eventually, we will have, some sell-offs in some of these really, really, elevated areas of the market, I guess I would say. Well, we learned from the Fed this week about the taper. And, that just set the market on fire. If anyone's to blame for building this bubble, Mary, is it fair to point to the Fed and the easy accommodative policy for all these years?
Right. I mean, it's been, essentially, they got close to unwinding, right? The whole 08, 09, QE all the way to QE infinity, right? And then pretty much, we were getting close back to some level of normalization, right? And then, of course, COVID hit. And so we're back, you know, back on the QE train, and of course they're trying to wind that down a little bit. I did see where Powell was kind of, I guess, at the White House making, you know, Biden wants them to meet some senators. So, you know, with the leadership change, right, you want to make sure.
We'll see
what the change is going to be. Hopefully he'll stick. I think he should stick in, personally.
Yes, I do not think he will be the Fed chairman. He's not radical enough, you know.
Well,
he's just
I don't know if you want your central banker to be radical, though. That's doesn't mean they know that, but I don't know. I'm kind of leaning on the side that he will be there. You know, just because
I'm going to take the opposite side
all right.
of that.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know who it
you
will
never know.
Be.
I don't. It's hard to. I mean, we can't even get polls right in the last handful of elections. So I don't know how we can handicap this one very good. Well.
But
we'll
I think it's fair to say if we do have a big meltdown at some point over the next several years or several months or whatever, I think there will be a lot of finger pointing at the Fed, like, I told you so. But you know what? At the same time, they've been saying that all the way up, and a lot of people have stood on the sidelines saying, it's fake, it's all fake, it's all created by the Fed. Well, your house doesn't know that, your 401k doesn't know that, your IRA. Do you know how much equity has built in this country from the appreciation in homes? I read there's $29 trillion now in equity in homes. It's a record. And look at the equity now sitting in 401ks and IRAs and Roths and in stock market accounts and whatnot. It's been a tremendous boom, and we also have to keep our eyes in the rear view mirror at all times. The NASDAQ closed up on the ninth straight day yesterday. NVIDIA was just booming higher. Qualcomm was booming higher. AMD broke out. Applied Materials, it was a huge day for the lithium stocks yesterday. SQM had a monster day, you know, and the other lithium players, Albemarle, et cetera. Facebook is having a pretty nice bounce. Now, well, you know, I'm going to start calling it Meta. Meta had a nice bounce. And Wells Fargo, I guess the move in NVIDIA is being tied to the metaverse.
I mean, they're the metaverse winner, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're using Roblox or using Facebook, you know, or Meta, I should say, or, you know, whoever the technology platform is. To me, you know, like you said, NVIDIA is the clear-cut winner in the metaverse at this point.
Yes, and maybe AMD to some extent, and then maybe some of these, I don't know, maybe some of the software companies. We have a new IPO, Nerd Wallet, that came public yesterday. It was up 57% on its opening day. We had the jobs report that came out. Oh, Ford had a huge day yesterday. We had the jobs report out this morning.
What's
the number? Do you have the number there?
I have it. I want to dive. What I really want to look is the labor participation rate. Now, you know, I think the number came in at 544 comes to mind. I'm pulling it
and
up right now. 450.
450 was the estimate. But still, tremendous labor shortage. I just talked to somebody who has a son-in-law that works at our port, Barry, a very busy port, unloading freighters from China. Right now they can't unload the trucks or the boats because there's nowhere to put the containers because there's not enough truck drivers to haul the containers away.
Right.
So we have a massive shortage of truck drivers right now, which is causing a huge bottleneck. They're talking about lowering the age of an interstate truck driver from 21 down to 18.
Mm-hmm.
That's one idea. You know, it seems like truck driving is a tough job. The average pay is somewhere in the mid $50,000 area. There's not enough parking places to sleep at night. But you know, why are all of these problems hitting us? These problems did not exist. I guess maybe the pandemic and COVID and this and that.
And demographically, trucking you've had a lot of shortage of truck drivers, especially, you know, your short haul or, you know, in terms of, you know, around town. If you think of a lot of your, I've seen it in the food delivery business prior to COVID where you had, you know, hey, you used to get food, you know, 3-4 times a week and they'd cut it, you know, would cut it an extra day. But, it's those, you know, to me, it's those, you know, it's not even the long haul because you can always put, some of those, you know, items on a train or right. some other version of transportation, but it's getting it from literally they leave from the port because Christina's, you know, dad's in the business, right? They yep. leave it, goes from the port. They literally move the can, you know, 4 miles, right? And get it to yes. a warehouse and then it's there. And then you go back and you grab another can and you're only moving it 4 or so miles, you know, a lot of times, but those are the jobs that are hard to, you know, hard to
yeah.
find. So,
and then of course, you know, when we come back, I have to mention the vaccine mandate, which would cover 84 million American workers that would go to in effect on January the 4th. That is not going to help the labor shortage, and it's a very controversial thing too. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kai. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now show. The Dow up 308, crude oil up 84 cents, the 10-year yield down 3 basis points, the S&P's up 34 points, and the NASDAQ right now is up 97 points. The Biden administration has unveiled the details of its private sector vaccine mandate, which was first announced in September. Companies subject to the rules must guarantee that employees who are not vaccinated against COVID produce a negative test at least weekly and wear a mask in the workplace. Employers are also not obligated to provide or pay for the test. You got to pay for the test yourself. The bigger picture is it will apply to businesses with 100 or more employees. That covers 84 million workers. The penalty per violation up to $13,650. I don't know how they arrived at that. $13,653.22 for each reported violation. OSHA. Now, you know, look. It's very, very controversial. President Biden says vaccination requirements are good for the economy. 37% of unvaccinated workers say they will leave their job rather than comply with a jab or testing mandate. Another 46% would get tested weekly. So, you know, I mean, we're at a place here where we've got a critical job shortage, and this certainly does not come at a good time. We'll see. You know, I've heard several employers that are going to sue. Is this an overreach by the federal government? Many say that the states would be in charge. I know our state, South Carolina, our governor is very much opposed to it. And they're headed to court with this one,
right? Yeah, they just everybody. I mean, we got the Pfizer pill now. You know, that's
yeah.
I mean, you know, who knows? You may not. I mean, my whole take on it, and you know, whether you know you like the vaccine, don't like the vaccine, what have you. I mean, the whole thing is you're shooting at a moving target, right? You got this date out, you know, what three months away, in which. You know, you take all this political flack for it, and who knows what the – I mean, we don't know what the pandemic going to be there. You've got, you know, new pharmaceuticals coming on board all the time, right? I mean,
and
you know, it could
pandemic
be the equivalent.
Continues to fizzle
yeah.
out, really.
Right.
So,
I mean, it could be 3 months from now. It would be the equivalent of requiring flu shots, right, for,
yeah.
you know, for workers, right, which, I mean, yeah, you know. It's just it's a tough position. I wouldn't want to be in the position one way
no.
or the other. So put it.
And I think you know most people are okay with the vaccine. I think it's the mandate enforcing you. That's what we don't like.
The whole state rights argument, right? I mean, of course,
yeah.
South Carolina being the beginning of the state
yes,
rights
it was.
Kind of debate years and years and years ago. So. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, if you can mandate that, what else can you mandate? Is kind of the, is the biggest piece of it, I believe.
Well, they're falling off their bikes over at Peloton, with this news. Peloton Interactive craters after full, you know what? If there wasn't a stock, I wouldn't have, it was in the right place at the right time. You know, they came along during COVID. When Planet Fitness and Gold's Gym and the others, you couldn't even go near one of those, breeding ground for COVID. And along comes Peloton, where you exercise at home with a subscription with a very overpriced bike. I mean, it was obviously time to get out of Peloton long, long ago, but I know some very famous, well-known investors that are still buying more Peloton today. It's down 30% today. It's absolutely getting crushed. Who couldn't have seen this coming? This should have been one of the most shorted stocks around. It was in the right place.
I love
at the
product.
Right time.
Yeah, I love the bike. I love my bike, but just because it's a good, it's one of those things we always talk about. Just because it's a good, a good product doesn't mean it's a good stock, and that's this is a perfect example.
Here's another one that, I was around in, obviously, the year 2000 with the 80% sell-off in the NASDAQ. I was also around during the oil embargo in the 70s when we had to line up. You know, I drove to work every day, and we had to line up and wait in line a long time to get
odd
gasoline.
Odd and even. You had the odd and even on your... on your tag,
well,
right?
Now, here we are. We're back dependent on OPEC. We're begging OPEC to open the spigot a little bit more to reduce prices, so they have us over a barrel. Russia has Europe over a barrel with natural gas when our country is loaded with oil and natural gas. So, OPEC sticks with their planned gradual oil production, defying U.S. pressure. CF Industries, this is fertilizer. They said today the worsening shortage of nitrogen fertilizer will force U.S. farmers to scale back fertilizer applications for their fields. You say, well, okay, that shouldn't affect me. Well, crops demand a lot of nitrogen? Things like corn. Corn is in almost everything. Wheat, your bread, your tortilla, the spaghetti, your pasta, cotton, your clothes, canola oil. It goes on and on and on and on. And now we've got a critical shortage, according to CF Industries, and it's being affected by high energy prices. Because most of this is a byproduct of natural gas. And, the problem is not that there's not enough natural gas. We're just not tapping it. Okay? It's a supply problem. It's a production problem. Another stock that I could never figure out, never get on board with, was Shake Shack. They report earnings today. To me, it's an overpriced burger that's not that great.
Yeah, they're no Chipotle.
But it's up 23% today. Okay, it's a 3.9 build. They finally reversed the slide because this stock's been in a slide for a long time. That's in the news today. Goodyear Tire and Rubber beats by 46 cents. Now, the reason I bring that up, Goodyear has become very quietly, underneath the surface, not a place where you just go to get that nail taken out of your tire. That's causing that slow leak, but it's also become an electric vehicle play. They have teamed up and are going to start producing EVs, if I remember that story right. This stock is breaking out to a new high today, 8.3% to the upside. I would just say that, in the year 2000, it was the .com. If they announced .com, the stock flew higher. Today, it's more of the electric battery, autonomous driving, electric vehicle, where this bubble is. And, here you've got an example of Goodyear Tire and Rubber, one of the most boring stocks you could ever buy. breaking out to new highs, 28% above its pivot point here, because all of a sudden, you know, they're being associated with the EV sector. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about that's creeping into the market and continues to creep in. When we come back, we got a lot of earnings to talk about. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kite.
This is Bill.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Friday. I'm going to do everything I can do to get that newsletter. Last week, I just missed it. You know, I about didn't quite get it done and had to finish it up Saturday morning. But I think maybe today I got a pretty good shot at getting that thing out. You can go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. Now, here is... You were just talking about this, about the drugs now. Should you come down with COVID? Pfizer had major news today on a drug that pretty much knocks it in its tracks. And, you know, you can see Pfizer's up 7.8% today, which is, I believe Pfizer's a part of that Dow, which is really propelling the Dow. And on the other side of that coin is Moderna, which is getting smacked. So the vaccine stocks are getting clobbered. No, Pfizer's a vaccine stock too. But Moderna over the last 2 days has gone from 375, 350 down to 233. It's down 120 points in just 2 days. So, you know, it would seem that, you know, the drugs that we're coming up with, if you do come down with COVID, are pretty powerful, pretty potent. I saw the numbers. It was like prevents 85%.
Yeah, and 85, 89, it was very high. I mean, I think of it as the Tamiflu of for COVID, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but I don't really know how to describe it, but it's a prescription pill. You don't have to go in for any kind of IV work, right? I think Moderna too has really been hurt, at least, you know, in terms of your go forward projections, in terms of just the COVID vaccine is,
right,
you know, for children, where, you know, Pfizer was approved. And essentially I heard the, you know, Pfizer CEO say, you know, they have enough vaccine for all of the kids in the U.S. So in other words, there's no extra upside, right? At least in the U.S. for Moderna when it comes to getting a kid's vaccine approved, because they have everything they need now, at least currently, to get those kids vaccinated if they want to. So
the other side of this story is Merck, which had a similar drug to Pfizer, but apparently Pfizer's drug is more potent than Merck's because Merck is down 8.8%.
Well, yeah, and Merck really only had the bump, right, because of that single pill.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, Pfizer, not only do you have the vaccine side, but you also have you have this new pill as well, which I think what the other pill has been approved and is, I think, beginning use, the Merck pill in the UK. And
Regeneron,
then one,
too.
Right. And yep, that's exactly right.
Yep, Regeneron. Okay, now, just I think indication that, you know, the fear of the virus today, three stocks really stand out to me from the travel industry. Now, when I look at the NASDAQ 100 today, the tech stocks are pretty dead. They're not doing hardly anything other than NVIDIA and Qualcomm. It's the travel stocks that are booming today. Expedia today is up 12.6%. That means that people are booking flights, booking hotels, booking rental cars once again. We saw the rental car stocks doing very well. The other one that really jumps off the page for me is Airbnb, ABNB. I'm going to call that the chart of the day. That is just solid. It's up 11.5%, a company that may finally be profitable next year. It has not turned a profit, but they had a monster quarterly report that tells me that you know, this fear of COVID and staying in the house and not going out and stuff like that, it's died down quite a bit. Airbnb's sales were up 67% quarter over quarter. Their earnings were up 239%, and that almost is going to ensure that Airbnb might even be profitable, probably next year, maybe not this year. And the other one that's booming today is Booking.com, which used to be Priceline. It's exploding to the upside today.
And that's the one I was going to mention. If you want to talk, you know, the one with the better fundamentals, at least, you know, is probably going to be Booking compared to certainly compared to Airbnb,
yeah,
like you said, because they actually
have
another
earnings. Stock that is getting a lot of it got a lot of bad press yesterday. That's all I can say is, you know, for a while, I would see this guy on TV being interviewed by different commentators, whether it was CNBC, Fox, or MS, whatever. I always said, you know, this guy's just a sleazebag. I don't like him. That's Dave Portnoy of, you know, he's Penn National Gaming now, but it's Barstool Sports. And he was commenting on Bitcoin. Well, I'm saying, why are we listening to him like he's an expert on all of these? He was making ridiculous predictions on the stock market and whatnot. And, of course, he's caught up in a massive controversy. The stock Penn National got clobbered yesterday. They wrote not a very good report on him and allegations that women are making against him, much like Trevor Bauer, the pitcher for the Dodgers, who pitched his last pitch somewhere, you know, before the All-Star game. So anyways, Dave Portnoy, that doesn't surprise me, some of these allegations. But it has not. Penn National Gaming, it got clobbered yesterday, down 25%. Hey, I bring you the stuff that, you know, jumps off the page at me in the news, and that's definitely. I think, too, that this sports betting, it's really gotten watered down. Isn't it fair to say that there's a ton of competition between DraftKings?
Well, it's correct, 100%.
Everybody.
Everybody. I mean, if you're in the gambling business, right, you've now figured out an online model, right, to take advantage of it. So, it's not unlike, as you mentioned, kind of the cannabis industry early on, right? I mean, there's so many players involved into that now where there's, you're essentially so much competition that you really – the chances for outsized returns or, even quality returns, you're taking more risk than the juice isn't worth the squeeze, if you will.
Yeah, and they
no pun intended all, in the gambling business here.
They're all undercutting one another. You know, you got Bally's, and they're spending big money. I mean, Bally's is sponsoring baseball teams and, yeah, Bally's, Caesars. I mean, it just goes on and on and on with who you can gamble with. And I'm glad you brought up the cannabis because I was going to say the worst chart that I've seen all day, besides Peloton, Tilray. Tilray's a stock that went to 300 in 2018, and now it's $10 per share in the cannabis sector. Another bad report for Tilray. Sales are there, but earnings not there. And that's hitting a new all-time low. Well, no, it got down to 2. Now it's back. It's at 10. It's hitting a 52-week low. So here you've got the market roaring. And can you imagine being stuck in cannabis stocks and sports gambling stocks and the like? You know, it's best sectors, too. You got to be in the right sectors of the market. All right. Last one here. Got a couple more. BigCommerce. I wanted to mention BigCommerce. BIGC. The reason I mentioned BIGC is because it is got a model like Shopify. And Shopify is one of the biggest winners of all time in the market. Shopify enabled people to set up malls online using the Shopify website. And, of course, Shopify is now a $192 billion company. I wish I was an early investor in that one, Barry.
Well, you jumped on that train. We owned it for a while.
I did
and did well. But yeah, right at the beginning would be really.
I mean, I wish I was in on the when they were doing the dollar a share venture cap, right. 50 cents a share venture capital stuff. But get big commerce is worth, you know, it's up 23% today. That's the best report because big commerce has not done much since being public. Got up to 162, then it just settled in. And by contrast, I mean, this is only a $4 billion company. But it is notable that it's having a very big move today. Their sales were up 49%, and the stock is up 23% today. The symbol is BIGC. It's a Shopify wannabe, I guess is the way to put it. All right, let me see. There's a lot of software stocks. I see a lot of the bloom coming off the rose there and a lot of those software stocks. Confluent, CFLT, which is a fairly recent IPO. Cloud. So all you got to do is have cloud in your description of what you do. You know, we're a cloud-based platform. And it's breaking out today. It's up 13% on a better-than-expected earnings report. Well, when we come back, we talked about some of the stinkers here. Now let's find some of the ones that really are impressive to the upside. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I think we need to just step back for a minute and put everything in perspective. This all began in 2009 when the S&P 500 was down around 660 points. Now it's at 4,600. It's added 4,000 points. It's a 7-8 bagger since 2009. And I'm not sure of the last 200, 150 years or whatever, if this is the longest bull market in history. It's the longest bull market I've witnessed, and it's got to be, if not the longest, one of the longest bull markets in history. What has driven this bull market? It's corporations. It's the CEOs of the companies with some help, wind at their back from a very accommodative Fed, but at the end of the day, it's earnings. The market trades at a multiple of earnings. And if earnings are going higher for 12 straight years, except for the one-off year, which was the COVID year, the market's going to go higher. And you've also gotten help, especially the last 2 years, with expansion of the PE multiple, which is the multiplier, because of such an accommodative Fed. And so therein, you know, you get into this bubble type of, move that we're now kind of getting into a bubble phase of this expansion and this bull market. But if earnings can continue to grow next year and the year after that, you know, it's corporate America. It's really in their hands. They need an accommodative regulation type of atmosphere, and they need enough workers to accomplish, and they need to keep inflation under control. And so that's all going to be addressed in the newsletter today. Hopefully, if at worst it goes out tomorrow morning. But if you've never received the newsletter, we were pretty active adding stocks to the portfolio, making a few changes here and there, a few tweaks. Pretty busy week. I was very busy.
Yeah, if you're going to get one, this is a good week to do
it. It's a very good week, and we have a really good handle on how this earnings season is going. And we'll have some important updates to the estimates for this year, next year. And also estimates on the multiple. That's there's starting to be some disagreement on what kind of multiple to apply to those earnings. But as long as interest rates remain where they're at, and they're very sideways right now, you know, we can get away with a multiple like we're trading at these days. But if interest rates start to head higher and inflation persists, then you're going to start to see that multiple starting to be reined in and target prices going down. And the market trades on expectations. The market is looking ahead probably 2 years. It's already priced in 2022. Next year, and it's looking to 2023, believe it or not. And so that's the key. That's the big picture. Now, when we get into the micro picture of the sectors and the individual stocks, a couple here today that have reported earnings, one that we own that we're having a pretty good day with is Datadog. One of the weirdest names.
Ruffs. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the, there was a good cartoon that I used to watch. What was that? Something dog.
Underdog?
Maybe that. Yeah, that was it. One, underdog. Yeah, I always root for the underdog. No need to fear. Underdog is here.
Yes.
Well, there's no need to fear because Datadog is here. Guess what? It's a cloud software stock. They don't have to worry about the price of nitrogen. They don't have to worry about anything being trucked. They don't have to worry about any log jams at the port, you know. I guess their biggest thing coming up might be the vaccine mandate. I don't know how many employees they have.
Yeah, 2,100. That's it.
Okay.
Not a lot.
They're headquartered in New York, New York, not exactly the Silicon Valley of the world. But listen to this quarter. Their sales were up 75% and their earnings were up 160%. See, that's the kind of thing, you know, that best stocks now, generally speaking, are made of. They're not made of an IBM whose sales were up 0% and their earnings were down 2%. Okay? 0%. IBM had the same sales this year quarter as last year's quarter. No growth whatsoever. And their earnings actually went down 2%. Okay, Datadog, by contrast, and, you know, that's one thing I like about using the Market Smith charts, because at the bottom of the charts I see these quarter-by-quarter earnings comparisons. And Datadog comes in, earnings up 160%, sales up 75%. Datadog off and on has been ranked, let me see where it's ranked right now. I want to say it might have been one or two for a while. There's currently number four rank overall, exploding higher today. It was up more. It's like I say, some of the wind is coming out of the sail of these early movers in the software sector. But still, you can't argue with the brand new high. And all of a sudden, you've got a $56 billion company that just went public in 2019. So we'll mention DDOG. Okay, we've been putting a lot of money to work. You know, I'd say, I'm not even going to guess how many new clients come in during a week with us. And it's my task to then, Barry puts them in the group. We have about six groups or so, eight maybe. And once they're in that group, when I make a buy in that group, that new client gets a part of that buy. You get an allocation, 4% generally is the size of the buys that I make in a portfolio. So a fully invested portfolio usually ends up being about 20 to 25 stocks. And I start putting that money to work on a daily basis. I look for opportunities. Some days I don't find anything that I want to buy or sell. And other times I find one that we already own. Everybody owns it except for the new people. And I put that money to work for them. And, of course, when we make a sell, it comes out of everybody's portfolio at the same time. Well, you know, do you want our eyeballs looking for you at these stocks and this market and managing your portfolio, and also the other eyeballs in the rearview mirror, because there are some bubbles building here. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Get this week's newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.